I think one of the really obvious things, of course, is that we think we know everything about Stonehenge. It's been combed over by archaeologists for centuries. And yet something as significant as this has taken this long to discover. Now, the reason, of course, it did is because it was deeply buried down by the river, and no one had actually really bothered to look along the riverside. Of course, this is the basis of our project, because we've been developing a theory, a hunch, if you like, that the river was absolutely central for Stonehenge and the people that used Stonehenge. We've been looking at the idea that, in fact, Stonehenge was really just one half of a much larger complex linked by the River Avon with a timber settlement with timber circles upstream, also linked to the river by an avenue, which we found back in 2005. And so we were sure that there would be something interesting where Stonehenge was linked to the river.
So really, through this discovery, you've learned more about Stonehenge itself.
Oh, I think we've learned a huge amount about Stonehenge. We're still trying to take in all the implications. And of course, until we get our radiocarbon dates back, we're not going to know precisely how this circle was linked with Stonehenge. But I think one of the things that's really very clear now is that for all of our theories and speculation about Stonehenge, we've now got to take into account Stonehenge's relationship with that river, because that's a key to unlocking this puzzle.
Now, what about the original location of these blue stones, where they were originally from?
They're a very unusual type of rock. It's not just one particular type. It's a series of them. But the interesting fact is that they come from Wales, up to 200 miles away from Stonehenge. Most of them are made of a particular type of igneous rock called spotted dolerite. And the others are various forms of volcanic rock or even sandstone. Now, not all of them are from one single place. They're from a variety of different locations there. And at the moment, there are two theories about how they got to the Stonehenge area. One is that they were carried by people, and another is that they were brought thousands of years before by glaciers, that they're what are called glacial erratics. My guess is that it's more likely they were carried by people, and that this would be the result of some very major movement of people carrying these four-ton rocks on sledges, probably over land, but possibly over sea as well.
That would have been quite an operation, you know, for that time, because 250 miles now, you have a truck or cars, but at that time, that's a pretty vast distance.
It's easily the furthest distance that any prehistoric megaliths, as we call these large stones, are moved anywhere in the world. So it's really quite a remarkable undertaking if it was people rather than glaciers that were responsible for it. And it raises big questions about why were these stones so special. One of the possibilities is that these were actually used as legitimators for people moving into new areas, into the Stonehenge area, at the beginning of farming in Britain just after 4000 BC. And that's the theory that we're looking at, is whether these were actually the symbols of ancestorhood and belonging to the land, so bringing their past with them and basically planting it into this new territory.
So no doubt further research will be conducted.
Oh, yes. Yes, there's a lot to do. I think one of the exciting things is that as we're learning so much more, it's giving us insights on new areas to look, new questions to ask. And, of course, this very issue of exactly where not just the blue stones, but the other stones at Stonehenge, that's the really big ones, which are called sarsens. We don't even know yet where their quarries were, but we've got a hunch, and we think we know where to look for them. So it's all going to be terribly exciting over the next few years.